each of the local houses. In other words, the third wire coming into the house, going to the water pipe, was completing the primary circuit. And this became very apparent when an automobile struck the pole across the street one day, and the fuse panel burned up in the house across the street, because the whole 7,800 volts appeared across that fuse panel, because it wasn't properly grounded, and because the butt plate wiring became disconnected when the car, when the automobile sheared through that particular telephone pole. So, if you have a clamp-on ammeter, let me drop. And if you have a clamp-on ammeter that you can put across your water pipe, and if you measure anything more than milliamperes, you'd be amazed how many people have measured amperes, or that neutral wire coming into the house. You'd like to have 0 amperes on it if everything is balanced correctly. But particularly on the water pipe, if you've got anything more than a few milliamperes, you could be completing the circuit. And there are a number of situations of where the main cutoff valve coming into the house had to be replaced, or a water meter had to be replaced, and so a plumber is separating the pipe in the house from the pipe that goes out to the street. And if he's got one hand across each, 7,800 volts appears across his two hands, and he quite possibly is going to be history. A really smart plumber knows of this vulnerability, and will first put a ammeter on that water pipe to find out what kind of current is flowing through it, and or he will put a huge clamp between the two water pipes before separating the two, you know, a great big jumper cable, if you know what I mean, and maybe make sure that he's separating those with very high insulated gloves. So you'd be amazed how many people don't realize that the grounding of their house could be completing the primary circuit of the power wiring for 7,800 volts to ground on the primary of the transformer that's supplying your house and maybe the neighbor's house. In my neighborhood, either 2 or 3 houses are connected to each one of these transformers. And with any further questions or comments, give me a call at K2RIW on the TechNet.
KC2MDP.
K2GJE.
K6DPZ. Okay, I heard GJE and Hal, and I heard someone before that. Steve, KC2MDP. Steve is the first one I heard. Go ahead, Steve.
Okay, Dick. Yeah, I've been in the electrical business for 30 years, and I found out a lot of times, 95% of the times, what happens is the neutral wire comes to your house, being that it's aluminum, and especially on Long Island, that neutral wire rots out, you know, the connection becomes loose, so then you have a voltage potential across the water main. And basically that ground rod is like a secondary. It really doesn't do much. I've run into instances where there was brand new ground rod, and there was a lousy neutral at the pole or either at the house, and there was a voltage potential across that water main. I've also seen it on cable vision wires. I've seen instances where cable vision has disconnected that little ground rod and fried stuff in the house. Back to you, Dick.
K2IO's question.
And YO also recognized in the list. Since you're in the business, Steve, what do you believe if the butt plate at the bottom of the utility pole and the wiring to the pole pig transformer is all working correctly, so that 7,800 volt primary voltage is properly being completed by the grounding at the pole itself, and therefore the grounding of the individual private homes is not picking up that primary completion of the circuit, a very dangerous condition. Obviously, now current would be flowing through the grounding of the house, and if the house happened to have not a separate ground rod, but is using the water pipe, the copper water pipe for a ground, and if I put a clamp-on ammeter on my water pipe, my main entering the house, what is your gut feel, Steve, for what is the right amount of current, AC current, that I should not see on my clamp-on ammeter? If my clamp-on ammeter showed me that 60-cycle current flowing through my water pipe was a milliampere, I'd say everything's hunky-dory. If I saw something like an ampere or greater, I think I should be alarmed, but maybe you've got a better number for that, Steve. You're in the business. K2 KC2MDP, K2RIW in the TechNet.
Yes, Dick, you hit the nail right on the head. I would say anything more than an amp, you have reason to worry. I've also seen electrolysis problems due to this very problem we're talking about. Back to you.
Okay, we've got we've got Ed, Hal, and Bernie in that order, also on the subject. K2GJE, go right ahead, Ed. K2RIW.
Thank you, Dick. Code now requires three grounds at the entrance panel. That is your water pipe, a driven rod, and if you have structural steel, maybe some lolly columns and a steel beam, a ground to that as well. Also, you have a problem with sometimes people making an illegal connection from a hot leg just to a ground, and this will also cause current flow on the ground system. Over.
Okay, Ed, in your opinion, what should be the amount of current that should make me alarmed if I put a clamp-on ammeter on any of the common grounding systems, like the water pipe? Do you believe 1 ampere is beyond the threshold of alarm, and it should be more in the milliampere region? Over to you, Ed.
When I was a factory electrician, I didn't see any current on the ground system, and I did check that. We were doing some welding, and we had some quite substantial feed to the building, and we had the three grounds, and they were not 6 or 8 gauge. They were more in the area of 2-0, over.
Very fine, and bet you've got some stories to tell us. Hal, K6DPZ, go right ahead, K2RIW in the TechNet.
Dick, I just wonder if you called me about the other thing. I was away from the radio about Richard's problem.
No, we haven't gotten back to that yet. We're still stuck on the grounding problems that have been brought to our attention. Bernie, you had a question on this. K2YO, go right ahead.
Yeah, my question was back for Steve. What is a way that I, as a homeowner, I've got a clamp-on meter, I've got DBMs, etc. What is there a way that I could measure to see if I do have missing neutral problems? Is there anything I can do without having to call an electrician out? Second comment for, could Steve also comment on Richie's question about will Con Ed deal with his grounding problem or does he need an electrician?
You got it, Steve.
Okay, yeah, to answer the second question first. Usually, I'm not too sure about the city, but I know here in Long Island, anything, if it's in your house, basically it's your responsibility. And repeat that second question again, I'm sorry. You commented about with the aluminum wiring for the aerial, for the overhead, that sometimes if it's not connectorized correctly, it will rot out, become open. How can I measure in my home whether I have a grounding problem? Dick's comment about excessive wiring running down, current running down the water meter. As an electrician, I've got a clamp-on Simpson meter. What can I do that will tell me, yeah, you might have a problem and should call a guy in?
You got it, Steve.
Okay. First of all, if you have a any kind of wire running to the water pipe at all, you can stick your amp clamp on that. You can also do a voltage check. In other words, you know, if you feel safe, you know, opening up the panel, basically go across the two hot legs, measure that voltage, and then go from hot leg to ground on hot leg to neutral, I should say, on each of the hot legs, and basically, the voltages should add up, if you know what I mean. Back to you.
Comment, Dick.
You got it, John.
The first thing you should do is measure your neutral current. Ideally, that should be zero. Then do exactly what he said. Put that clamp on that ground wire going to your pipe. And if you get a reading down there, you either have a bad neutral condition, which may be just a question of tightening the lugs in the panel. That's horrendous. Also, the clamps that the Edison uses, when they come in with their number 10s and hook onto your 4-aught wire, they can do whatever they want. Those compression fittings up there, they do rot away and do oxidize, and that can give you that problem. That's when your ground starts to carry the current, the unbalanced current, which the neutral, which is distributed throughout the neighborhood, should be carrying that. Excuse me, and to answer Rich's question, beyond the property line box or your meter, that is your responsibility after that.
Rich recognized the neutral wire, which is made out of aluminum, coming into my house, which had a compression fitting at the post, the king post, or whatever you call that post at the house where the wiring from the street first enters the house. That connection became flaky, and I had what's called the dim bright problem. In other words, depending on what appliances I turned on, my 230 circuit, which is supposed to be 115 volts each side of ground, each side of neutral, became unbalanced, and therefore, depending on what appliances are turned on, certain lights would be super bright and others would be very dim. So I was dividing the 230 volts unequally. And as soon as I recognized that, I reported it to then, it was Long Island Lighting Company, and they came and checked the aluminum lead that came into the house, because the drop lead from the pole pig transformer to the king post, I'm going to call it, of my house, they took responsibility for that particular run, and they did discover that it was improperly rotting away, and they replaced it, and then my dim bright problem went away. So although that was on my property, I think when it comes to the power wiring, I believe they own it up to the post where the drop lead from the pole pig transformer comes to what I call the king post of the house. I think that piece of wire they own, and they therefore fixed it in my particular case at no charge. K2EO, K2RIW, go ahead, Rich.
K2IO would follow up on that.
Yeah, we're going to go to Rich and then Bernie in that order. Go ahead, Rich.
That's called the weatherhead, by the way, Dick.
Dick, a couple of things. First off, it's very strange. Like 20-something years ago, I borrowed an amp. I don't know why I even did it. I don't remember. It's been so long. I borrowed an amp probe from a neighbor, and I recorded like 3 amps on the brass water pipe, mainly when the heating system fired up. And I had Con Ed here, got into a big tussle with Con Ed. They never resolved the problem. What they did do was, and they told me they didn't have to do it, but they were doing it for me. There was some aluminum wire, heavy wire, I guess, 00, I guess. I don't know what it was. Between the meter panel, and the breaker panel, they changed it for me because the original was aluminum. They put copper in there, and but they never really resolved the problem, as far as I know. I'm gonna have to check it again. We have a different heating system, if that's gonna make a difference. Now, what the other gentleman said about the two legs adding up. Neutral to each side. Let it drop. That's not necessarily so. On Long Island, I'm having backwards, but I think you're on a delta system. Here in Queens, we get, we've been doing this before, Dick, on other subjects dealing with power. I think I'm on a Y system, and we get two legs of a three-phase system. And I've been over this many times. I know it's right. Con Ed gives me 212 volts leg to leg. But if you measure from neutral to each leg. It's 122.8 is the official reading. And the reason is because you have to add them algebraically. I think it's 135 degree phase angle thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, the exact number, it's the ratio is square root of 3. Let me return this thing to the way it was. Yes, I took your 122.8, which is supposed to be your official voltage, each line to neutral, and if I take the square root of 3 and multiply it, square root of 3 is 1.732, I come out with 212.7. So in other words, because a number of places in New York City, and I believe a number of places in Richmond County, in other words, Staten Island, are running on truly two-phase, 120 degrees apart between the two phases. See, when I have a single phase going into my pole pig transformer, which has a secondary winding of roughly 240 volts, I'm going to call it, across that secondary winding with a center tap. And those three wires, each side of the 240 plus the center tap, are the three wires brought into my house. So therefore, I have 120 each side of neutral. In the case of the wiring in many places in New York City where it is a true three-phase transformer, where now each of the wires coming out are not, and by the way, those two wires I got across the transformer were 180 degrees apart. Therefore, it's a simple voltage add. 120 plus 120 is 240. But in the case of a true three-phase system, which a number of places in New York City have, you now have the square root of 3 as the ratio between one line to ground versus the high voltage that runs to the range or to the hot water heater or whatever. And therefore, you get these crazy numbers I just told you about, which were 112.69, 122.8. I think it was Bernie next. I had a question on all this or a comment. K2 Yankee Oscar, K2RIW in the TechNet.
UB2X, Stony W, you want an important comment?
Bernie first. Go ahead, Bernie.
Yeah, Dick, my comment is on exactly where does the power company stop and where does the homeowner start. We have to remember we're talking about multiple concepts here. In my home on Long Island, I have aerial drop wires, and I own everything on the house side of where those drop wires tie on to the masthead. I forget what that thing's called. In my building in Queens, we have underground service, so we have a cable vault coming in. In that world, Con Ed owns everything all the way up to the meter. In my home, I own a section of wire that goes from off that masthead down the side of my house and into my meter. And Con Ed can, or I'm sorry, Lifehouser considers that to be mine, where in Queens, it is not mine. I had a situation recently, a cousin of mine lives in the city. She's rather well off and has a house on 69th Street. And actually had a fire in the cable vault or in the cable entrance into the building. And a connection had come loose. Con Ed took responsibility for it. But that was actually a good 20 feet inside of her building. And Con Ed still took responsibility because it was on the Con Ed side of the meter. So in that kind of a world, they consider the meter to be the break point. I don't know really if they had to bring new wire in. I really need to get back out there. Customer of mine also for a business, and I need to go out there and take a look and see where to kind of really run the new wires to. But my understanding in buildings like that with no drop wires, that it's actually where the wire touches the meter.
Commenting.
Okay, John recognized, but Howie first. Go ahead, Howie.
Okay, Dick, what people should do is check to see if they have, you know, single phase or two phase. Take a battery operated scope, not a scope that you plug into the wall. It'll be safe. But take a battery operated scope with two channels and go, you know, put two channels, the channel A and B or channel 1 and 2, between the two legs, you know, on either side of the 120, you know, close to 240, and see if the sine waves are in phase or if they're out of phase. And if they're out of phase by 120, because out of phase by 120, obviously use the square root of 3. you know, if it's Delta or Y or whatever, it's going to be three times 120 degree day, 360. So that way you'll know if it's a true, you know, single phase or three phase, or if you got two phases. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, so what we're really saying here is that when you measure each side to ground, in other words, at your fuse panel, almost all houses have half the wiring on the red wire, so to speak, and half the wiring of the house on the black wire that came in from the street, each side of neutral. My particular voltage, I just measured it right now, was 125.4. That means because I've got a single phase type system, on the assumption that my house is balanced, I'm going to get 250.8 volts across the two hot lines coming into my house, 250.8. Because it's a three-phase system, on a good day, Rich is going to get 212.7. He gets 212, I get 250, line to line. As such, this came about because he was running a kilowatt amplifier. He wanted to get full voltage into the transformer to get into the plate circuit. And because he's got a two-phase system as opposed to my one-phase system, his transformer has to run on 213 volts. Mine would run on 250. I would get a much higher voltage going to my tube, if you know what I mean. And Rich went through quite a bit of rigmarole to try to correct for that condition so that he could get full power out of his amplifier. Go ahead, John. KC2WGB, I think it is. K2LIW in the tech net.
KC2WGB. Dick, on Staten Island, the responsibility is Edison's up to the weatherhead, that pipe that comes down to your meter. After that weatherhead, technically, you are responsible for all of that wiring. You are not responsible for the meter itself. When it comes underground, there's a thing called a property line box, which is a vault that's buried somewhere in your front yard, and they are responsible up to the property line box. Now, in Brooklyn and places, they have the underground wiring that comes right through into the meter pan. That is Edison's responsibility. And that there's a few of those left. There's quite a few on 86th Street, but that's about the limit of Edison. After that, it's yours.
Very glad you told me that would have known that. From your point of view, John, you happen to know approximately what percentage of Staten Island is on a two-phase system, similar to the problem that Rich has there in Queens, where he only has 213 volts to run his high-power amplifier, where I would have 250 volts. He's decreased by square root of 3. I'm decreased by 2-to-1 ratio. So what percentage of Staten Island do you think is two-phase? KC2WGB, K2LIW in the tech net.
We have many different systems distribution here. Most of ours is closed delta. But they have open delta, closed delta, then we have Y. Then we have the open Ys. There's a lot of different types of distribution. We have what they call the high leg, where you can have your 230 volts across two legs, and to ground, you'll have your 115 or 120, and then one leg will be 185 because it's on an open. So it's very confusing, got to be very careful. They're phasing all of that out now, and we're basically going to simple delta.
WB2HW,
another
comment on delta and Y?
Yeah, run that one again, John. In the case of the 185, I know of no appliances that would run on 185. Would that be an industrial, in other words, that's a factory of some kind? Is the 185 used in any way? Over to you, John.
That was used in a lot of industrial and commercial businesses that had large distribution. And the lighting loads were all put on the other two. The industrial loads picked up that 185. It was a cheaper way of for them to do it, leaving it open. And it saved them a transformer. So that's how that went down. But they are getting rid of those because so many people hooked lighting up to the 185 side. It blew out a lot of fluorescent lights, I'll tell you that.
KC2, QIQ.
WD2HWW.
Yeah, don't worry, Howie. Howie next, and then Glenn in that order. Good, Howie.
Two comments. One, in some application you need to use a delta, in some application you need to use a Y. In a gas station, I think you have to use a Y. I don't remember the Y or a delta, but if you have to go into an intrinsically safe place, in some places you need to use a delta, in other places you need to use a Y. And also in New York City, in some of your commercial buildings, you do have 277 and 480 for lighting. So even you have a higher voltage, you even have other voltages where they use a brown and an orange wire. Over to you, Dick.
Interesting. KC2QIQ, go right ahead, Glenn. K2RIW on the tech net.
Yeah, I'm hearing some crazy stuff out there about different distribution voltages, but I think pretty much most of the Northeast in power distribution, Dick, is open delta, 2150. So, you know, if you go down most residential streets and you look up there, you're going to see three wires, 2150. Actually, I think it's like 2148 or something like that, but, you know, 2150 close enough, and that's open delta. Now, as far as the distribution drop, now that could be anything. But most local streets, when you go down there, you'll see a line transformer. And those are typically single-phase drops. So what they do is they put the primary of that transformer across any two of those three-phase open delta lines, and they drop it down to typically 220 with a center tap, and the center tap becomes the neutral. Let me let it drop for a second. So basically what you wind up with is the center tap is the neutral, and you wind up with basically like 120, 120. So it's really like a 240 drop with 120 on either side. And that's all single phase. And that's most of just about everywhere. In industrial applications, they will take that triple, you know, three-phase open delta, and they'll drop it usually down to like, 480. And then from 480, that will feed in off of main power transformer into a location. That could either be dropped to another from delta to Y, delta 480 into Y for, like, say, 277 volts for lighting, or it can be also, like, 115 Y, 115 neutral, and then 208 phase-to-phase. But that's most of the standard and industrial that I know of here up in the Northeast. Some of these other configurations I've really never heard of. K2RIW, KC2QIQ.
WW and another comment on that subject.
Yeah, you feel that 2150 is the main distribution voltage, and maybe in Massapequa that's true. In Huntington, where I live, the Dixhill section of Huntington, it is 13,000 something. They gave me a four-digit number, a five-digit number. It's around 13.2, and therefore, line to line, therefore I've got roughly 7,620 line to ground. That's what's going into the primary of my pole big transformer.
No, it isn't, Dick. I beg to differ. 13.8.
Okay, 13.8. So in other words, John thinks it's 13.8, and I can divide by square root of 3 to get that down to something like 7,800. You think it's 2,150, and that's a big difference. Well, let's see what Howie's got to say about all this. Go ahead, Howie.
Dick, that 1350 is typically on a main power distribution leg, but when you get into local distribution, it's 2150. There's no drops between pick pole transformers at 13 all the way down to 220. You know what kind of ratio that would be? That transformer would be burning up.
Absolutely right on that. Comment that I'm going to make is that when you go into, in New York City, you go into most buildings, not apartment buildings, but if you go into most commercial buildings like Empire State or whatever, you're going to run 7,800 volts up to each floor, and then you're going to come out to 480, 277, or 120. You have a lot of applications where you have special lighting that will run on a higher voltage. And any electrician will tell you that when they have to wire it out, when the engineers do the wiring, you know, the planning, they have to make sure that they balance out the lighting load on each leg. A lot of your lighting will come on a two or three phase, and when they come out from the fuse panel, they got to make sure that they get a pretty balance, because you don't want any, you want that neutral to be pretty close to zero current, over to you, Dick. And also, you have to be careful if you use a Delta or a Y, because there's certain applications if you've got water pumps. I don't remember, it's been so many years ago, but one is safer than another. So depending on if you're intrinsically safe or not intrinsically safe, you've got to look at the National Electric Code, and it's around Article 430, which deals with all of that. You got to look at the green book or whatever the color of the book is for each year. Back to you, Dick.
The last time a telephone pole got knocked down in my neighborhood, and LIPA, Long Island Power Authority, people were here, and I talked to those guys about the line that they were reconnecting, and they told me line to line was 13,000-something, 13,650, I forget what the number was.
If they were wrong.
Could be. We'll eventually settle that one. In other words, you're convinced that all phase A, phase B, phase C, the three high-voltage wires going down the top of the utility poles.
You know how I know, Dick?
You're telling each one of those is 2150. Is that line-to-line or line-to-ground? Over to you, Glenn.
It's a delta configuration. If you look, there is no center leg. There's no four wires running down the street. There's three. It's delta, period, 2150. And how I know it for sure is because that's a main UL requirement that, in other words, if you're going to put a line transformer into a piece of equipment where you're going to touch the end, you have to have the isolation of the transformer has to be 2150 from any one side of a line to the chassis ground. That's the isolation requirement is 2150. From input to output is basically double that. So it's, So, I mean, that's like the isolation requirement for an isolation transformer. For local, if you have a wall wart, if you have anything inside a main where you're depending on that power transformer to be isolation, that is the UL requirement. That's because mainly all distribution to the, like, 115, 220 that you're going to be using in your house has to have that much in case of some kind of a breakdown failure on the main primary. Like something shorting over or breaking down in the transformer on the pole. K2RIW, KC2, QIQ.
You're fairly sure now that the distribution wiring going down the streets that's going into the primary of the drop transformer is 2150 is what you said, and it's delta. Is there a ground anywhere in that delta system? It's question number one. Question number two, does my pole pig transformer connect line to line, or does the primary of the transformer connect line to ground? Over to you, Glenn.
Well, it's very simple. Just look up at the telephone pole. There are only three wires running on the very, very top of that pole. That is delta. There is no fourth wire, so it's not Y. And as far as ground is concerned, ground is high impedance compared to the resistance of that copper running down that wire. If they were going to try to run your power to your pole transformer through ground, you'd be running circulation currents in ground. Absolutely retarded. They absolutely, positively, 100% wire that transformer. And if you watch it and you look up on the pole, you'll see that primary. There's two wires coming off the primary, tapping off of two of those delta wires that pick it up, and then that gets dropped down into your 240, 120 with the center tap that comes into your house. But that's definitely delta on the pole, and where it gets grounded is right at the transformer. So you see that pig pole transformer? The ground is right there, and that's a safety ground for lightning protection that goes from that transformer right at the base of the pole. And hopefully it's there. Sometimes those grounds, they get mistreated over the years and they don't exist. K2RIW, KC2, QIQ.
We've got a problem, Glenn. The pole pig transformer in front of my house, the neighbor's house, I've looked at many of them down the block. There's one single porcelain high voltage lead on the primary. One single wire goes from my pole pig transformer to one of those three phases going down the street on the top of the pole, your phase A, phase B, phase C. I pick up only one single phase. There's only one porcelain insulator on the primary of my transformer. The other lead of the transformer utility pole picking up the butt plate. There aren't two leads on the primary of my transformer, only one. The only other leads coming out of my transformer go to the house. Over to you, Glenn.
You do realize you're going to force me down to drive in your neighborhood probably tomorrow, and I've got to take a look up on the pole and actually see that. But, Dick, I've never seen that before anywhere. There's always usually two wires. Because what you're basically saying, if that were true, that you'd have like 2150 running an open leader line down into the ground, and you'd have that high current running through ground soil. That's insane. There's no way in the world that would pass anywhere. It's got to be, I mean, I'm not sure, you know, what you're seeing and what's up there, but there are two connections to those wires up on the top on the primary. And anything that even runs diagonal to that pole is going to be dropped down significantly to, you know, either like, you know, 240, 120, you know, something along those lines. But I'll have to look into that, because that's the most strangest thing I've ever heard in my life. Maybe it's not that visible and easy to see, but there's got to be two connections up there, Dick.
KC2, MDP.
Yeah, I was about to pass it over to you, Steve. Steve, you gotta settle this one. Are some communities wired like I am awfully sure my community is wired? KC2 MDP, K2RIW in the TechNet.
Well, to put it simply, Dick, I had the same scenario you have outside your house. One primary running down the thing, one wired to the transformer. The only time I've ever seen a transformer wired with two wires is like upstate or something where it's isolation, there's like one house. And I've seen that scenario there. But I've never seen a transformer around here with two primaries going to the transformer. Back to you.
Dick.
Go ahead, John.
Dick, on your neighborhood distribution, the 240 side, you have three wires traveling down the pole, I assume, like in our neighborhoods. They're using the neutral to pick up the counterpoise of that transformer.
Yeah, the if I could see the wiring of that transformer, the primary winding, one lead is grounded to the case of the transformer, the other lead goes to the high voltage porcelain insulator that brings in the one single lead from the distribution system, which I believe is 13 and a fraction kilovolts in my neighborhood. The secondary of that transformer has got these three wires. One of them is the case, that's the neutral, and then the two outer wires that I call the 240. Red and black is what it becomes after as it enters my fuse panel from the weather head. And in my case, I think it's two houses that are fed from one single transformer, occasionally three houses. But I'm reasonably sure only one single wire goes to that primary in my house. It also happens to much of the distribution that Steve has. Is there a slim possibility, Steve, that a portion of Massapequa, where Glenn lives, is really running primary wiring to the pole pig transformer, line to line, as opposed to line to ground? I am convinced that line to ground is the most popular. You might have an opinion on this one, Steve. KC2 MDP, K2RIW on the TechNet.
VDH with a comment.
VDH will be after Steve. Go ahead, Steve.
Okay, Dick. Yeah, no, I'm with you. You know, I'm not saying I think it was Glenn. I'm not saying he's wrong. The only thing I could say is next time I'm in Massapequa, I'll have to look up and see what's going on over there. But like I said, most of the time I've seen is one wire to the transformer, and like you said, they're using the ground as the other end. You know, the secondary ground. Back to you,
Mr. VDH. Give us your full call. Is that Victor Delta Hotel? Give us your full call and your name, sir. KQRIW. My name is Dick.
Okay, fine business, Dick. The call is WA2 Victor David Henry. Name is John. Just wanted to give you an example to point out what you mean, the kind of example you're talking about, Dick. There's a place I go to out in Montauk called Birdcliff, where they have one transformer that serves the entire premises. And their pole pig is mounted on a pole right by the side of their road. And what they do is they shoot over one wire from one of the three-phase lines, and they also bring over the common neutral, that is the neutral for the 120-0120. And the transformer primary runs between those. So there's one high-voltage connection to the three-phase lines, and the return of the primary is the common neutral that is used for the 120-0120. That zero is the return of the primary. It's in common to those. And that line also goes to ground, as you mentioned, on the butt plate of the transformer. Go ahead, Dick.
Okay, we'll eventually resolve this. And so, on the assumption that Glenn is looking at his transformer correctly, I think the kinds of wiring that you have there in Massapequa, Glenn, is the less popular. That's my belief. That I've seen many of the transformers in Huntington Town have one single lead of high voltage going into one single porcelain high voltage insulator on the whole big drop transformer, and everything else is a low voltage wiring. If I was really picking up two of the phases of the distribution system, there would be two high-voltage porcelain insulator leads going into that transformer. And I don't see that in the residential areas, maybe in the industrial areas, but not in the residential areas.
I have an update, Dick.
I'm listening, Glenn.
I just went outside to look on the telephone poles, and yes, you're right, there is one wire that comes off the pole pig that goes to one of those lines. But further back, and this is why it took me a little longer running out there, I had to go to the end of the block to find the main distribution where it's coming off of Montauk Highway. On that transformer, what they've done is they've actually taken the delta at the high voltage, which would be like the 1350, and they've actually done a secondary Y configuration, dropping it down to the 2150 coming down the street. And then with the pole pig, is basically the neutral that's coming from that Y configuration is actually brought all the way down the street at a lower level so that the output of the transformer is dropping from, so in other words, the case or the output case of that transformer is at one side of the 2150 and the other side is only picking up one of the three off the hot. So that means that when it's coming down at 2150, it's really not delta, it's a Y. Does that make more sense to you? K2RIW, KC2QIQ.
Okay, so we're not absolutely sure as what voltage, but your particular pole pig transformer has only one single porcelain insulator picking up one single high voltage lead. Is that what you've observed out in front of your house, Glenn? Go ahead.
But the return to that high voltage lead is actually coming down as the return with the lower, along with the, in other words, if you look at the top, the three main wires are all the way up on the top. But apparently there's a neutral that's generated from the 1350 down to 2150 at Montauk Highway, Merrick Road, where it comes in and drops down. After that drop point, they take the return side from that, and they actually run it down with the lower voltage connections on the other side. So actually, that wire gets brought back up to the transformer. So what I'm saying is that on the street, it's not an isolation transformer. It's just an auto transformer.
Yeah, there's multiple ways that they could wire the inside of the transformer. But your transformer is only picking up one of the three phases that goes down your particular block of high voltage wiring. And the butt plate grounding, I think your primary of your transformer, its circuit is being completed by the case, and the case is being grounded at least in two places. One is the butt plate at the bottom of the utility pole itself, and the secondary grounding of that is the 120-0120, the zero wire that goes into each individual private home. But I think that your primary high voltage circuit of your transformer has one single porcelain insulator. Earlier you made it sound like it had two. Over to you, Glenn.
Well, there are still two primary wires, keep in mind. In other words, one is the porcelain insulator that's going up to the top. The case itself is the other side of that primary that's getting wired back to the return that's going back in a Y configuration back all the way up to that return of the next transformer. So in other words, there's two transformers happening. One is happening out on Merrick Road, Montauk Highway, which is knocking down like 13,000 volts down to 2150. So what they do is they run the three-phase Y coming down the street with basically the 2150, and then they run the Y neutral along the lower level where basically the transformer, after it picks up one at the top, it's getting the return through a wire at lower level, and then it drops down from there to the secondary of the other side. But I'm saying that there doesn't appear to be any isolation between primary to secondary at the residential level is what I'm saying, Dick. K2RIW, KC2QIQ.
Yeah, I agree that in the domestic wiring for private homes, the neutral of the 120-0120 shares the case of the transformer, and it shares one of the leads of the primary of the high voltage input, and that case is also grounded by way of the butt plate and by way of the individual homes. And maybe in your case there's an additional safety wire, a grounded lead running down the individual utility poles. I think you're telling me you believe that there is, of the three phases of the 2150, your transformer picks up only one of those phases, and I think you're saying that there is a fourth wire coming from Montauk Highway that runs down those poles, and it grounds each one of the cases of the transformer. That's what I think you're saying, Glenn. Go ahead.
Well, in my neighborhood, I know that the main power distribution comes down Montauk Highway. And then my street is basically south of Merrick Road, and at that point there's no 1350. It's dropped down to 2150 and three phase. But the 1350 that's along Merrick Road is true delta. But when that comes down, at 13,000 volts, that's real delta. Then what's happening is there's a transformer that feeds certain parts of the neighborhood strings that are coming down into my local neighborhood, you know, just south of Merrick Road. And at that point, those three wires come along, they're knocked down from the 13,000 to 2150 for local residential. And when those three wires are coming down, it picks up one of the wires from the three on the top, but the neutral that's being knocked, because in other words, it's going from delta to Y, from 13,000 to 2150, and that's where that other wire, or that zero voltage wire that you're talking about, comes down the lower level on the street.
KC2MDP.
Go ahead, Steve.
Okay, I just looked it up. Go to Wikipedia, distribution transformers. It explains the whole thing. It seems like we're both right. With the one primary wire is called a grounded Y, and transformer with two primary wires is a delta. They call it a phase-to-phase transformer. Back to you.
But how many domestic homes do you think are wired delta phase-to-phase? How many of those drop transformers to a home do you think are wired that way, Steve? I think that's unusual for places like Suffolk County. Go ahead.
Yes, I must agree with you. Like I said, I see it a lot upstate, you know, where you got one house in the middle of nowhere. I've seen it where they have the two primary wires on the transformer. But here on Long Island, I've always seen one primary wire going to the transformer. Regardless, if it's a single-phase system, three-phase Y, three-phase delta, there's always one wire primary going to that transformer. Back to you.
Second wire is the case.
Yeah, we've never said that the second wire is not the case. And there's only one single high-voltage porcelain insulator going into most of these domestic drop transformers for individual private homes. We're going to all study this a little bit more. More power to you, guys. We've got to move on, and we're going to come back to this one. This is a goodie. It comes up periodically, but the danger involved of people making a mistake of not knowing what risk there is when they open filling up a water pipe in order to replace a valve or replace a water meter or whatever. It's something that you got to know, because you'd rather not have an uninformed plumber come into your house and make one of these mistakes. It'd be nice for you to look over his shoulder and say, gee, I don't think you should do that. If he's about to do a separation of a pipe and he's got one hand on each side, there's a lot of risk involved there. Let's see if we've got Paul is still available, if we haven't put him to sleep. WS2N, let me first find out if you're there, Paul, and then in which case I'm going to say a couple of words before turning it over to you. WS2N, if you're available, K2RYW in the TechNet.
Okay, Dick, yes, I am available. And I finally figured out the difference between Delta and Y. Okay. Looks like Delta's got 3 and Y's got 4 Y's. I'm here, Dick.
Okay, you definitely want to see the March issue 2011 of Scientific American, a beautiful 2 or 3 page article on the subject of the MESSENGER satellite. MESSENGER satellite launched by NASA in 2008 is doing a very difficult mission. Common sense would lead you to believe when you're going to Mercury, an inner planet of this solar system, you're dropping down in gravity. You're going closer to the sun. Sounds easy. The article makes it clear that going to Jupiter, which is tremendously further away in miles, is considerably easier than going to Mercury. And that MESSENGER has already done a flyby of Venus and 2 flybys of Mercury. And in March of 2011, it's going to put itself in orbit around Mercury, the planet Mercury, the innermost planet of the solar system, and they are finding some tremendous surprises there. Let me drop. When the, I can't think of the name of the very first satellite that flew by Mars. Why can't I think of the name of that one? Anyhow, they had a quick flyby.
Mariner.
You got it, Mariner. When they did a quick flyby of Mercury, they said, okay, it's pockmarked. It looks just like the moon. And they assumed that the moon, they used to think, was all of those pockmarks were due to volcanic action. And they found out that very little of it is volcanic action. It's all doing impacts. And they did a Mariner flyby of Mercury, and they saw the very same looking pockmarks. And they said, okay, it's going to be the same impact due to meteorites hitting Mercury, just like mostly meteorites are hitting Mars, the moon. And they're slowly discovering that Mercury is mostly volcanic action. It's the opposite. And they've got very different materials involved, and they're finding crazy magnetic fields and whatever going on Mercury. So Mercury, a very simple-looking hot planet, is very different than you expect. And you've got to protect yourself from the tremendous heat of the sun. I think the sun is something 11 times brighter at Mercury than it is at the Earth. So the solar arrays that collect the energy, you can't aim them directly at the sun. They can't tolerate that much illumination. They've got to be aimed at an angle. And there's a great big shield between the MESSENGER satellite and the sun, because the sun would be overheating the satellite. So, as I said, you look at the March issue 2011 of Scientific American, a very nicely done article. So that's one of the things going on in space. I bet you know a few more, Paul. WS2N, K2RIW in the TechNet.
Okay, very good, Dick. And I didn't get to that article. I got to the other article was last week about the New Star telescope that's going to be launched next year from the Pegasus rocket down in the Kwajalein Atoll Islands down there in near the Marshall Islands. We talked about that last week. But I had not seen the article about MESSENGER. On the NASA site, they do have pictures of the planet taken from MESSENGER. The inner planets all the way out to Saturn. They could have picked up Uranus or Neptune too far away. Kind of like a montage of a mosaic, I would call it, I guess, of the planets. They were put together in different pictures. And that hasn't really been done since the Voyager 1 picture taken many years ago of all the planets except for Pluto, high above the ecliptic plane. Let me drop it. And that picture showed up in one of Carl Sagan's books, Pale Blue Dot. And not since then have they tried something like that. They did that with Messenger. To do what they had, because of the orbit of Messenger, which is, you know, sometimes it's above the orbits of some of the planets or below the orbits in respect to the inclination due to the ecliptic orbit of the planets. Sometimes they were being photographed from below, sometimes above, to get this mosaic of all the planets. Interesting enough was the moons of Jupiter were also photographed by that same spacecraft. And you can get a good idea of the distance, the relative distance of the moons from Jupiter. You can see the thickness of, you know, the diameter of Jupiter. And for instance, if you double that, you could figure out that you're going to get to Io, and a little further than that, you're going to see the other Galilean moons, you know, Europa and Callisto and Ganymede. You can see the relative distance between, you know, where you would look for the moons if you were looking for a telescope. When I first started looking at Jupiter, I'm saying, where are these moons? You know, I'm looking maybe 20 diameters away from Jupiter, you know, using Jupiter's diameter as a reference. I couldn't find these moons with this particular photograph. I mean, it's an actual photograph. You can really tell. Let me drop it. Okay, Dick, I want to pick up a couple of those topics, unless you want to talk more about Messenger, but a couple of other space-related topics. WS.
Go right ahead, Paul.
STS-133 will be taking off a space shuttle. Now planned for Thursday, the 24th. We talked about this many months ago. It was due to go up in November. And it's the one that's got a half a dozen crew members on board and plenty of supplies for the space station. This is the one that has the robot on board, roughly about the size of a person. And the one that was built by GM, we covered that many months ago, but this thing is finally going to be going up. They had forced the whole spacecraft back to the vehicle assembly building because of leaks on the external tank that they had found. So they have these stringers, they call them stringers, running up the, you know, maybe 100 stringers running up the side of the external tank, which really stiffens the tank. The external tank being the tank that contains the hydrogen in the lower portion of the external tank, and the oxygen in the upper portion of the tank. They're all cryogenically cooled liquids, and they found cracks in the tank itself, not in the oxygen tank or the hydrogen tank, but actually in the external tank. So they repaired all that back out of the launch pad and ready to go. We'll see what happens. And then there'll be two more space shuttle flights after that to the space station. Drop it. They have plenty of stuff on board. They've got a module in the back that they're going to permanently attach to the space station. It's built by the European Space Agency. This thing has gone up a number of times over the years. You know, the idea of it was to bring things up, attach it to the space station with a robotic arm, open up the 1 meter door, and it became like another room, temporary room, as long as the space station was attached to the shuttle. Then what would happen at the end of the mission? Close the door, arm puts the whole thing back into the space shuttle, bring back all the different scientific experiments, what are they going to bring back, and they would bring it back to Earth. This went on a number of flights. This being the end of the space shuttle series, they're going to patch this